Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mum podcast, brought to you as always by the lovely Golding Accountancy, wearegolding.com. Hi! Sorry, last week I wasn't well. I'm still not well, but I'm better than I was. I'm so bored of talking about my gynecological issues. I'm doing a podcast tomorrow with my friend and I'm going to discuss a bit about what's happened to me more recently on there, so you can listen to that if you're interested. Obviously listen to it anyway because it's going to be a great episode. But yes, I'm fine. But did you enjoy Josh Weller? I don't feel like I bigged him up enough on the introduction last week. I've been wanting to talk to him for ages, but he's super busy. So, yeah, but I just, it was such a good chat. He's just a funny guy. Funny guy. So make sure you check it out if you haven't already. And also, the Epic Mum Chat, as I mentioned, there's new episodes of that out. If you've got anything that you think we should talk about, then please get in touch and let me know. Just search Epic Mum Chat on YouTube. This week, I am joined by the lovely Steph. Steph contacted me, well, you'll hear all about this, but basically we get tattooed by the same girl, Becca, who was on my podcast the other week. And Steph, she used to be a suicide girl. They're tattooed models, if you don't know what suicide girls are. But she's now got her own business making matching mum and baby items, which sound absolutely delightful. She's got a shop on Etsy. But she just contacted me because she's a single parent, got her own business, wanted to share her story, and I'm very glad that she did because it was really good to talk to her, as you will hear now. But if you feel that you have a story that you'd like to share with me, then please get in touch. I think there's so many people out there that have stories. Everyone's got a story, so talk to me. But yeah, I'll see you in a bit.
Work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Work. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Today I'm joined by the lovely Steph, who messaged me and said, I want to come on your podcast, which I love because you're the second person to have done that. The first person is I'm really good friends with now. So I'm hoping that that's what's going to happen with us. I'm hoping that that's just how I'm going to make all these new friends. But thank you so much, because this is what I want people to do, because there's so many people in the world who've got a story that should be shared. But then I think so many people just think, oh, people won't want to listen to me. I'm not interesting. But you are. So well, many people is. Are, aren't they? Everybody's, exactly. So thank you so much for reaching out. So
no worries.
You found me through the Tiny Miss Becca podcast, didn't
yes.
you?
Because yeah, I did.
She tattoos you as well.
Yeah, yeah, since I was like 18 and 34 now. So yeah, very long time friend. So yeah.
Did she do you in your bedroom or her bedroom?
No.
Or has it always been at a shop?
Always been a shop.
That's a really random question. Did
she but I'm sure she told me she tattooed someone in a bedroom, and I was like, oh, maybe it's you.
No, it wasn't me. No. It was always in a shop. I was living in Wales at the time, so I literally got the megabus. I didn't drive, so I got the megabus from Wales to Essex, which took like, I don't know, 6 hours or something. Got tattooed for like 4 or 5 hours, then I'd go back, and I did that for years.
How did you find her?
It was through like a friend of mine, I think. Like, she just recommended her, and I was like, oh, she's amazing. And I remember, like, quite early on, I was only like 20 or something, I wanted her to tattoo my thumb, and she was like, no, which was great because I didn't have like any other hand tattoos, I didn't have my arm done. And she was like, you need to think about this. I was like, okay, fine. And she did do it. And she did my ex-partner's, and he passed out, which was hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm a winner. But she was always like so caring that I was just, I just kept going back to her. So, yeah.
What did you want on your thumb?
I've got it. It's a diamond.
Oh, you have got it?
Yeah, I've got it.
Oh, nice.
She did do it.
Oh, she did do it.
Yeah. After a lot of convincing, I was like, Liz. She was like, we haven't got many others. I was like, well. But yeah, one of the last things she did on me was my arm. And I never wanted my arms done. I've got my legs completely covered, my back, my stomach, the insides of my fingers, inside of my lip. But I didn't want my arm done. And but it took, it was meant to go on my leg. But basically, it ended up on my arm because it fit better, and I love it, so it's fine.
Why didn't you want your arm done?
I don't know. Like, I always wanted them kind of like hidden, and also like for me, it's a massive deal because obviously, like, you know, you see it all the time, and I'm such a perfectionist that I know that I would literally sit there like looking at it and being like, oh, that's wrong. Not saying that, you know, anyone, not saying that Becca would do it wrong,
I know what you mean, though.
Yeah. And so I thought, like, if I, you know, for example, my back tattoo, I can't see it, so it doesn't matter. I mean, there's lots of things wrong with it, but it doesn't matter. But,
See, that's interesting, because I've got them, I want to see them all the time. So I've got them in places where, well, I've had my stomach done now, and I don't see that all the time, obviously, because I wear clothes. But, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, the different reasons people want them, and...
It's weird, though, because like, I'd rather have, like, little bits on my hands than, like, my whole arm. And I think, like, I don't know, and people... Because I don't have my left arm. I've got nothing on it. But my legs are completely covered from, like, the bottom to the top. And people always go, why haven't you got your left arm done? And I'm like, oh, I'm not really, like, that fussed. I want the rest of it done first. I don't know. Like, it's just... it's just weird.
Is your whole back done?
The whole of the top, and then I got one thing at the bottom because I'm stupid. I didn't have a whole back piece done. I had like one bit, then another bit, then another bit, and I was like, oh, why did I do that? So I need to get it all filled in, really, and then it'll be full. But
it's very time consuming.
Yeah,
isn't it, getting tattooed? Yeah. It's a whole thing. It's like another job.
it is, like, and it is. Like the waiting time as well, you know, and then like. Yeah. Something might happen, or like, but then I'd rather wait than just go to some random person and not know, you know, what they're like or whatever. Yeah. Like, I always research my artists for ages, like years sometimes. Yeah. So,
that's because people obviously say, oh, I want to get a tattoo. Where'd you get yours done? But it's like people want
they don't want to pay money. And it's like, the one thing that you do want to pay money for is a tattoo, because it's on you forever.
Yeah, exactly.
And you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you don't want to find a cheap tattooist.
No, not at all.
So where are you from? Are you from Essex?
No, at the moment I live in Worthing, which is near Brighton.
Okay, I know.
And my family, well, my mum's German, so she lives here now. But yeah, I've moved 22 times, like all over the place.
Wow. So where did you grow up then?
I grew up in Worthing.
Okay.
And then I moved to London when I went to uni. And then I moved to Wales, then I moved to Greece, then I moved back to England, back to Wales, back to England. I did the Wales thing 3 times over 10 years.
What was it about Wales?
My partner when I was like 17 went to uni there, and then I met like loads of people, and even after we split up I kept going up there because everyone was just so friendly and so lovely.
Yeah.
And just so welcoming. Like, I've never felt so welcome like anywhere ever apart from there, like, you know. And so I kept going back, and then I got another partner, moved up there, and then so I've basically, like, my daughter was born in Wales, and we moved we moved here when she was 8 months old, so but I still go up a lot, and I've still got a lot of good friends there who have they're just so supportive. And I know they say, like, you know, like, sometimes there's friends that you don't see for ages, and then, like, the friendship's still the same. It's always like that with them. And, like, I've never...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they're just really nice. So, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so those sometimes...
Whereabouts in Wales?
I lived in Newport and Cardiff. So,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, pretty... my headphone fell out.
Because I'm obsessed with the house in Sex Education.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's
isn't it?
Where I want to live.
Yeah.
And there's loads of communes, isn't there, in Wales?
Yeah, and there's
that'd be nice.
There's a pink castle as well, little princess castle on the way to Cardiff. It's amazing. So cool. It's wicked. But there's just so many amazing things there. But for me, job wise, it wasn't the best. But, you know, friendship wise was amazing. So
So what do you do?
I work in the funeral industry, so I'm a laser engraver. So I basically, I engrave plaques for coffins. And memorials for pets. So random.
How did you get into doing that?
I started 4 years ago. Before that, I was a carer for a lady with fibromyalgia, and basically, my dad passed away, and he was it basically destroyed me, and I couldn't go back to work. And basically his best friend owns the company where I work, and he said, "Oh, we're looking for a laser engraver." I was like, "I don't even know what that is. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do graphic design." And he's like, "Yeah, but you're creative, so you'll be fine." Then basically, as soon as I started, it was so nice because most of the people who worked there knew my dad, and it felt like it was just like a nice comfort. It wasn't like starting a normal job. It wasn't getting to know new people because I knew them all already. So it just kind of like fell into place. It was like 4 or 5 months after my dad passed away, I was offered this job, and I've been there ever since, basically. So
have you had any like random things to engrave?
Really weird things.
Really?
Like, I mean, obviously I wouldn't say any names or anything like that, but there was one, we do these things called heart tags, and they hang on the coffin or like ashes, caskets or whatever. And it was about the person's weight, and it was awful. It was basically like the person's name, "You loved eating all the pies," or person's name, "Who ate all the pies." And it was like 10 of these heart tags I was engraving, all from different members of the family, all related to her weight. And it was awful. And we were discussing it in work, and I was like, the thing is, obviously you can't do anything about it because you're dead. But like, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, really harsh. Some of them like are really bizarre. Like, because I do pet ones as well. And like, I'll be completely honest, I'm not a massive dog fan. I'm more of a cat fan. And like one the other day was something like, "Oh, you're my soulmate. Unless you have a dog, you don't understand what true love is." I'm like, oh, really? Okay. But you know, it's
yeah.
It's interesting.
Each to their own.
Yeah. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, you said you're creative.
Yeah.
So, what's your story then? So, you grew up in Worthing. Did you mm-hmm. go to... What happened when you left school? Did you go to college?
Yeah, went to college. I did German because it was the easy option because my mum's German. So I was like, oh, I'll pass that. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then I started a DT course. So the only reason I went there was to do resistant materials, DT. And a week into the course, they were like, oh, we haven't got enough people doing the course. So we're going to have to cancel it. And I was like, yeah. Great, what do I do now then? So I did film studies. I don't even like films. So I don't know why I did it. I think like most of my friends were doing it. I was like, oh, I'll do that. And then I did drama because they told me I could do stage management. So I always wanted to do backstage stuff because I volunteered at a local theatre and I loved it. No, it wasn't that. It was acting. Useless at that. And I was like, oh, no. And then I did English. So, but I did creative textiles as well. So, which is where I started doing sewing, which then progressed into my business, which I started 8 years ago now. So, yeah.
So you've not sewed before?
No, no, just
you hadn't at all. So you just at college.
Well, I started at school when I was in year 10, and I did my GCSE. And like my dad didn't sew, my mum cannot sew at all. So I don't really know where it came from. Like it was, I just found it really enjoyable. And I think because it was creative textiles, it's a mixture of art and textiles. It was just really interesting. I didn't do fashion textiles. Like I can't make clothes. I want to learn how to, but I you know, can't do that. But yeah, I just really enjoyed it. And then I continued doing it. And yeah, and then I went to uni. So
what did you do at uni?
I did events and business management. So basically, yeah, I know.
It's completely different.
All over the place. Well, like I've always been interested in like theatre and events since I was younger. Always wanted to work like backstage in the in the theater, and my cousin did that as well, and I really like am inspired by him, and that's what he did. But I know that it's quite a sort of male environment, and it was going to be hard to get into, so I thought, oh okay, I'll do events management, because it's more varied. It means that I don't have to just do stage, I can do any kind of large events. So, yeah, I did that. I went and moved to Greenwich, went to Greenwich Uni, which was petrifying because it was London. And I was like, oh, and spent 3 years there. And I graduated with a 2-1. So that was great.
Nice.
But, yeah, it was like it was interesting. Like I found it really hard with like how busy it was. I just like came home most weekend.
London.
Yeah. The course itself was like, it was great, but most of the people there, because it was London, they lived at home. So, you know, because it's cheaper to live at home. So I was in halls, and because it was Greenwich, our student union was only open one night a week, and it shut at 11. Yeah, honestly, shut at 11 because it was in a residential area. And then you had stewards up and down the road telling you to be quiet. And I was like, this is not the student life I thought I'd be living. And I remember one of the tasks that we did was to decorate a jacket potato and to get a free cocktail that was alcohol free. Like I just, you know, when you have something in your brain and you're like, why did that happen? Like that was rubbish. Like, I know. I was like 18, like ready to be like, yeah, let's have fun. No, here's a potato and decorate it. So, yeah.
I suppose that is the problem, isn't it, with London? So I suppose a lot of people would go to uni who can just live at home.
Exactly.
And there isn't that social aspect of...
And they had all their own friends and stuff like that, so I found it quite hard. And everyone was like, I don't know, I know it sounds cliche, but I felt like the odd one out. Like I was like the only alternative kid, like the only kid that like listened to like heavy metal, and like, you know, I had horrible hair extensions and back combed hair, but you know, who didn't? Who was a scene kid?
So did you go home every weekend?
Most weekends, yeah. And then we had like a long summer break. So that's when I moved to Greece for a summer, like out of the blue. It was ridiculous.
Were you just like, oh.
Yeah. Like my boyfriend at the time was like, he was going on tour. So like, I was like, well, you're leaving me for like 4 months anyway. So I looked on Gumtree for jobs, and there was a bar job in Greece, in Kos, and I was like, oh, I'll apply for that. And I got the job, and they were like, oh, yeah, you've got to meet Stavros in a pizza place in Kos Town. And I was like, everyone's called Stavros, but okay, cool. Like, is this real? And I told my family, I was like, right, moving to Greece, got a one-way ticket. And I went out there on my own. I was so nervous. I threw up on the aeroplane. I was just like, oh, my God. Because I was going on my own. I didn't know if this job even existed or if this person existed. And I just literally bought a one-way ticket.
You must be quite brave to have done that in the first place, though. I would never have done that.
I wouldn't now.
As much as I would have loved to, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't now.
When you become a parent, you don't do anything anymore.
No. I was like 19.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was petrifying. But yeah, it was real, so that was good.
Did you have the best time?
Oh, yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, I worked 7 days a week, 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. for like €30 a night, which I worked out was like £1.50 or something. But it was wicked. It was like so much fun, and like dance, you know, like Coyote Ugly, where they dance on the bar. We did that. Like, our manager was like,
oh my God.
He's like, stand on the bar. I was like, okay. And then I got a beer and like shook it up and like put it, like sprayed it over. Oh, it was great. It was so good. But yeah, it was an experience. Like, at that time, like, you know, mobile phones, you couldn't really make international calls because it was too expensive.
Yeah.
So opposite our hotel, there was like a payphone, and I had like a crate turned upside down. I'd sit on the crate, use the payphone, and like ring my mum for a bit and be like, hi, oh no, my credit's running out, I've got to go. But yeah, it was an experience.
Well, that must have been fun. So that was your first year at uni?
That was my second year at uni, yeah. Yeah, so yeah.
So what happened when you finished uni?
So I finished uni. I did an apprenticeship in London, but I was living back in Worthing. I did it for a charity, and I worked for them for 6 months. And basically, they sort of said, you know, you'll get a job after this. I was like, okay, cool. 6 months were up, and they basically were like, yeah, see you later. Thanks for all the work. I was like, oh, what?
You're joking.
No. And I basically, I did all the marketing for them for this new event, which is an event that's still running, which I'm really frustrated about. And yeah, they just let me go once. So it was 2 weeks before the event was due to start, huge fundraising event in Hyde Park. And they just were like, yeah, bye. So that really annoyed me. Understandably. And then I moved to Wales, I think. Yeah, I moved to Wales. So that was like the second time. Lived there for a couple of years. And then at that point, I was modelling full time. So I was like, I went over to America to shoot out there.
So you're a model?
Yeah.
You told me this.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Not as much.
So how did
now.
That all come about?
Oh, it was when I started uni, and like 18, and like I always admired suicide girls. I was like, oh my God, they're so cool. Like, they're alternative. It's not mainstream, because I did a bit of modelling when I was younger, but like as soon as I got like coloured hair, they're like, nah, see you later. So I was so scared to apply. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I wasn't that confident, even though I just said like I went to Greece on my own, but I wasn't that confident with myself. And yeah, my partner at the time like took some photos of me, probably hideous looking back at them now, sent them in, and I got accepted, which was amazing. And then at the time...
So what happened then? What was your first...
Well...
What happened with that? Because it was online. I don't really know too much about it, but it was online. Was it online?
It's still on.
So
massive,
did you take your own photos, or did you go and have shoots?
No, we had shoots. So we had staff photographers. So we had people that were employed by Suicide Girls to take photos. So they knew what kind of style they wanted. They knew like what they needed basically for it to be accepted. But yeah, there was only, I think it was like 10 of us in the UK at the time. So now there's hundreds, obviously. But yeah, there was one SG photographer in the UK, and she lived down the road from me. So I shot my first set in Brighton at the West Pier, you know, the one that's falling apart.
Yeah.
And I was really lazy, and she was like, we'll meet at 5 a.m. I was like, oh, don't be ridiculous. I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. Not thinking I have to be nude. Didn't think that. So I was like, yeah, let's meet at like 9. So we get there, start shooting. I'm in the water. This is, I think it's like February or something. It's freezing cold, like so cold. And people were like getting, it was getting busier down the beach. And like with SG, like you basically start off clothed, then do lingerie and then end up nude for like two or three pictures. So I was doing that. But in the daytime in Brighton, when it was busy, in the water, freezing. And that was my introduction to nude modelling.
Oh, wow. How did you feel when, were you quite comfortable with it or were you?
I didn't care.
Oh, like, good.
I literally, like, I felt more comfortable. And this was like the thing going over the years. I felt more comfortable without clothes on than with clothes on, because like you're not restricted, you're not like, I don't know, it's weird, like I'm really uncomfortable. It's bizarre, like, yeah, I feel a bit uncomfortable with clothes on, or at the time doing photo shoots. And I think because it was a lot of the time I did stuff for like clothing companies, it has to be like showing the right thing. But when you're nude, like, nothing can really go wrong, really. I mean, you know, obviously so it depends the way they edit the photos, but you know, or what angle they're standing at.
But, oh, wow. Yeah. So did you get a lot of work? Yeah. How did it work then? Did they just book you for, did they have an idea of what the shoots that they wanted and then they just choose who they want for them, kind of?
Yeah. No, basically, like, so basically I spoke to the SG photographer. She was like, oh, they really want you to do a set. I was like, okay, cool. You come up with your own theme. So like, One time I did like, I don't know, I can't even remember. I just did different themes, basically. Basically, just like depending what colour underwear you've got, like, you know. Yeah. And then you submit the photos. So it's usually about 50 photos. Then the staff say, this was back then, it's changed now. They say yes or no. And then they send you a check in the post for the photo shoot. And then they put it on the website. And it was really simple and easy then. And you can do as many as you want. But obviously you don't want to be on there all the time because people will get bored of you. So I did them like, I probably did like 2 a year or something, but I did work in between. So I did, like, I helped with the convention. So like Brighton Tattoo Convention and London, I looked after all the SG merch. Literally, it was at my house. That's how my mum discovered that I did it. She looked in a book and was like, you're in this book and you're naked. I was like, yes, I am.
What did she think about it?
She was fine with it. Like, and my dad was so proud. It was like, it was odd. Like, he was like, I can't believe you've done this. Like, because we were in a book called Suicide Girls Beauty Redefined. And we did a book signing at Waterstones in London. And it was mad. I was like, as if I'm doing a book signing. And he was so proud. He got the book and he was like, this is my daughter. And I was like, Dad, like, it's a bit awkward, isn't it? And he showed my little brother. And my brother was like, probably like 6 or 7. But yeah, they were like really, really proud of me, which was really nice, which is surprising. But, you know, but well,
you're in a book.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was amazing. And like doing the conventions and stuff was wicked, because we sold like Suicide Girls merch at the tattoo conventions and we did autographs and stuff like that. And we sold all the merch, so like T-shirts, knickers, whatever. And I was in charge of like recruiting the girls and planning the days and things like that. And for me, obviously doing like events at uni, I was like, this is wicked. Like, this is so much fun. So I did that for years, like years and years.
Do you still do it now?
No, SG don't do stuff at conventions in the UK anyway. I think because, like, it is popular here, but it's not as popular, like, as it was. So, like, when I was, like, 18, 19, like, it was, you know, there was only, like, 10 of us or whatever. And it was massive. Like, it was this new thing and everyone was so excited. And, like, you know, they'd meet us. Like, I remember one time putting on, like, SG, I was like, oh yeah, I really want some purple knickknacks because I love them. And then this guy came up to me and was like, I saw your post. I was like, oh, thank you, it's amazing. But like, had like proper fans, which was bizarre. I mean, I did have one recently, and which was, I was like, I'm 34, like, I haven't done this in a while. And they were like, oh, can I have a signed photo of you? I was like, yeah, cool.
Wow. So you don't do the shoots anymore?
No, only because it's changed so much. Because there's so many.
What's it now then?
So basically, at the time, it was like they, as I said, they just said yes or no to your photos and then paid you.
Yeah.
Easy, like simple. Now, because there's so many girls wanting to be SGs, there's a thing called SG Hopefuls, which basically anyone could do. Like, you could do it. You could send in your photos and go, oh, I'm an SG Hopeful. Doesn't mean you've been accepted. Doesn't mean they're going to pay you. Doesn't mean it's going to go on the website. It basically goes on a thing called member review. Basically, there's a huge queue for it, probably like 6 months or something. So if you submitted photos now, maybe in 6 months' time it would go on there. They had the photos have to be on there for at least 3 months. So you're giving them free content for 3 months. And then they decide, depending on how many likes and comments you get, and this is why I don't do it anymore, then they will say yes or no. And I'm just not comfortable with that. Like, I'm not comfortable pushing myself and promoting myself that much.
Yeah, and they've already had them for 3 months.
Yeah.
So surely they've already been seen.
Yeah, they have been, but this is the thing. Like, you know, that's how they get free content. And the problem is trying to find a photographer now who's willing to submit 50 photos, submit all their rights to their photos, say that, you know, SG can do whatever they want with them, is quite hard. And then going, oh, you might get paid in 3 months, but then if not, then all the photos, you can take them down, and obviously they don't own the rights to them. But it's too much hard work. So like, if they turned around and said to me, oh, we want you to shoot, like, I still speak to a lot of the SGs, I still like know some of the guys over in America, but you know, if they were like, oh yeah, we want you to shoot, then I'd be like, yeah, cool, because obviously you know, they want it, so that means it's going to get accepted. But I'm not down, like, I'm too old to be like, oh, please like my picture.
Yeah,
like, I can't be bothered with it. Like, I'm not in that mindset anymore.
I think you'd have to really want it and be very strong in yourself to...
Yeah.
Because that's quite harsh, isn't it?
It's hard.
Being how many likes and...
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like Black Mirror, isn't it?
Oh, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't like that.
No.
Maybe they could do a reunion.
Yeah. Like, of all the old haggard SGs, now we're really old and wrinkly. It's like,
oh, God. You're not old. And anyway, it's all about the MILFs.
It's all about the MILFs.
These days.
Beautiful.
Oh, wow. So how long did you do that for then?
Oh, God. Ages. Like, I mean, I did modelling. Like, I still do modelling. But I did.
Okay.
I did SG. And...
You are very attractive.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So how did you get into modelling? Did anyone in the family do it, or were you just...
No, it was literally just like, it started with SG, really. Like, I did like, I did a couple of things when I was younger, because my dad was like, oh yeah, like, do you want to do the shoot up in London? But yeah, it started with SG, and that's when I became confident. Like, I found like my group, like, I found my people, like, it was incredible. Like, the people I met through SG are still my friends. Like, they are lifelong friends, and like, I can't describe like how much of an amazing community it was, of like strong women, like women supporting other women, and like, and it, especially, it was quite a long time ago, you know, like, and it was just like, it was really nice. And then because I did SG, I had clothing companies approach me asking to do stuff for them, so I shot for them. Then I worked, when I lived in Wales, there's a photographer called Scott Cole who did a lot of covers for Skin Deep. So I've been, I think it's like 6 covers I've done in, no, maybe more, I don't know, quite a lot of covers for Skin Deep, and a lot of German magazines as well. Total Tattoo. So yeah, I did a lot of shoot, like tattoo style shoots, basically. But yes, like he got me into them, which was wicked. And then I had an award-winning portrait artist painted me when I was like heavily pregnant. Mental.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it, yeah, his name's Nick Lord.
Oh, I bet that's lovely. Can we see it anywhere?
Is it anywhere? I don't know. It was up. Well, his work was up in the National Portrait Gallery, but the pitch, like, basically, I didn't know it had been done, and he contacted Scott, and basically, I did this photo, and it was in Skin Deep, and they did such a nice thing. Like, when my daughter was born, they were like, congratulations, like, to Kiko, like, her daughter's been born, and like, this is a photo of her, and they did like a whole feature on me and my business and my daughter, and it was so lush. I was like, oh, bless you. But yeah, I didn't know it had been done. So basically, the photographer was like, oh, come with me, I need to show you something. I was like, oh, okay, fine. And then I go in this room and, like, no word of a lie, like, the biggest, like, canvas I've ever seen in my life of me. And I was like, what? And, yeah, I don't know what happened to it. Like, I don't know where it is now. I only saw it that once.
It'd be nice if they'd given it to you, wouldn't it?
Oh, that'd be lovely. I mean,
it's probably worth millions, but it would have been nice.
Yeah, it's worth quite a lot, I think.
Seeing as it has you.
Yeah. Oh, and,
oh, what
yeah.
a lovely thing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Has your daughter seen it?
No, she hasn't. And I should show her, like, because she's seen, like, I mean, I'm in the middle of moving at the moment, but the magazines are normally behind here. But, yeah, basically she's seen the magazines and she's been like, Mummy, this is you on the front. Mummy, this is you. I'm like, yeah. And I remember when I was in one in Germany, like, my family live in Germany, and they saw this magazine, but it was nude because they're a little more open to it, you know, in Germany. Yeah. Like, in tattoo magazines, a lot of the women or models or whatever are nude. And so my uncle's like flicking through and he's like, oh, okay, yep, she's naked. It's like, oh, sorry. Bit awkward. So the majority of my work, like, was doing tattoo magazines. And yeah, like, clothing stuff, which was wicked. So, yeah.
So when did you start your business?
I started my business 6 months before my daughter was born. So like 8.5 years ago, something like that. 2012.
So what is your business?
So my business is called Stay True Stitches, which basically the name is because... Oh, sorry about that. The name's right. Because I... Obviously, Stitches is sewing. But yeah, staying true to myself, and I'm quite into sort of like hardcore music. So like a lot of... Like, I didn't drink for quite a long time. And yeah, it's all sort of like... related to that, really. And
is that the straight edge thing?
Basically I started it because my daughter, well, I was pregnant, and I wanted to do her nursery, and I wanted to do like nautical themed nursery. Now, like, everything was blue and everything had boats on it, and I was like, no. I was like, why aren't there enough, there's not enough unisex stuff, like baby stuff at all, like, yeah. And you know, this was like 8 years ago. So I was like, oh, I'll make, like, her curtains, I'll make her a patchwork blanket, I'll make her a dribble bib, I'll make her, you know, like, headbands and stuff like that. And it was all blue, white and red. And I made this, like, the first thing I ever made, which is still one of the most popular items, was, like, a taggy blanket, like a patchwork taggy blanket with different colours on it and then the ribbons at the sides. And yeah. I posted a picture online and loads of my friends were like, oh, can you make one for me? And I was like, oh, I'll just make it for Tilly, like, you know, I'm working, I'm busy. But yeah. Okay, fine. And it just started from there, like, literally as I was like going into labor, I had contractions, I was trying to finish an order, I was like, I need to keep sewing. It really hurts, but I managed to do it. I don't know how, but I just got really busy. And then I just kind of, I was like, oh, it'd be nice to do, like, mum and baby matching stuff. So I did, like, mum and baby matching headbands and then, like, the dribble bib matching a headband or whatever. So that, like, they could also match with, like, boys. Because I found a lot of, like, there was a lot of, like, mum and daughter stuff, but not a lot of, like, mum and son stuff that was matching, like, at all. So I was like, oh, it'd be a good idea to do, like, yeah, bibs that match with, like, a headband or a scrunchie or you know, something like that. So that is, like, so popular with, like, American customers because I'm on Etsy. And, like, the amount of orders I get from America for the matching, like, mum and child stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you do it all yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You must work non-stop.
All the time. Yeah, I've got stuff next to me, look. And I've got, like, key... like, yeah, I was working just before this call.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I started that and then do craft fairs and stuff like that. So Christmas time is really busy. I usually do craft fairs every weekend. So the first one starts this weekend. But yeah, it just kind of, it's evolved throughout. Like, I started off, you know, doing like these plushy toys and different things. And I've now evolved to like doing other things like reusable face wipes and things like that. But basically, the whole ethos behind it is I was given like a load of fabric as well from like my grandmother or like in charity shops. And I was like, well, it's such a waste. Like, I want to make this into something new and something usable and something that is practical. So I just started doing that really. And I sell my stuff on Etsy. I've got my stuff in a shop in Goring, which is like near where I live. It's great. I love it.
Wow. So how do you manage it all around? Because you're a single parent.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So how long have you been a single parent for?
This is the thing. Like, I say single parent, like, I have got a partner, but, like, in my eyes, I will always be a single parent because I'm not with her dad. I know that probably sounds weird, and people have their different ideas on it. But, like, for me, I'm like, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
We left Wales. So I split up with my daughter's dad when she was 8 months old. So, and then I was on my own for about a year. And then, I've been with my partner 3 years. So,
okay.
Yeah. But
how do you manage? So how do you manage it all?
Don't know.
Working constantly in two jobs and...
I have, well, technically... Oh, my daughter's just come in. Hello.
Oh, that's fine.
She's said, what will we have for dinner?
No, when?
When.
That's
very important.
Oh, when?
When? About half an hour.
Oh, what?
Right, bye. Won't be long. Go and get a snack. Go on. Hello, happy now. Sorry.
Yeah.
She literally wrote it down because I said to her, don't interrupt. And she's like, written it down.
Oh, well, that's good. Might just come in and say, Mum. It's always about food.
Yeah. Oh, no, always. So technically, I kind of have like four jobs, really, which is ridiculous. But I work like in a bar when it's open again. And I do a PA job and I do laser engraving and I do my business. And I do social media management for a band. And what else do I do?
Your name.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
So you really do a lot then.
A lot. Always have done. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I'm just so used to being, like, busy. But I don't know if I could handle a 9-to-5 job, like, doing the same thing. I like the variety.
Because I'm going through this at the moment because I've done some work on myself recently and because I'm more sympathetic to myself now, I'm kind of appreciating everything that I do and how hard it is. Whereas before I was always very much like, I've just got to get on with it. This is life. But now I'm a bit like, actually, I fucking work all the time.
Mm.
I've got a lot of jobs, a lot of different jobs like you.
Yeah.
And with the kids, it's just, so I was a bit, I really enjoy all the different jobs that I do,
mm-hmm.
but if I could have a job, just one job, that paid me as much as all the other jobs do and more, that I could start, you know, at a certain time of day and finish at a certain time of day and then do everything else around it, I think that would be quite nice.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do enjoy the fact that I can do other things during the day as well as work, because I'll work till 11 o'clock at night and that's fine because I can do stuff during the day then. So it's a hard one, isn't it? Because I suppose the grass is always greener.
Yeah.
It's like my daughter Lola's, she's like, you're always working. I just wish you had a normal job. And I'm like, yeah, but if I had a normal job, you'd have to go to breakfast club and after school club.
Yeah.
And then when I get home from work, I've still got to do all the shit that I'm doing during the day while I'm working, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, I like the fact that, like, it's like with my business, I can do it whenever, and I can sew when my daughter's in bed, even though my sewing machine's well loud. Wish there was a silent sewing machine, honestly, it's so annoying. But I mean, she's used to it, like, she's heard that noise her whole life, so it probably makes her fall asleep. Like a bit like white noise. But you know, I can pick her up from school now. Like, before, I worked at a language school and I was working all the time. Like, and this was when she was like 9 months old. I just moved to England from Wales. I had literally nothing. I had I had the Welsh dresser that's behind me and that's it. I had no furniture. I had no job. and I'd just broken up with my daughter's dad, and I was like, oh, what do I do? And I just threw myself into a full-time job. What a ridiculous idea. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you panic, don't you? Because you just think, well, I've got to earn money and I've got to do stuff and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I just did what I had to do, really. I'm glad I did. You know, it got me back into working, and now I was like, oh, I need that work-life balance. So I need, I want to be able to pick her up from school. I'd managed to change my hours, got a different job, and they're really flexible, which is really good. And with my business, I can do it. Like, even today, I took sewing into work with me to do on my lunch break. You know, I'm sat there, like, eating, trying to do some sewing, every single opportunity. But
would you, if you got to the point, could you get busier and then drop something else? Or are you scared to, just in case? Because it's constant money, isn't it?
I think with my business, like, I'd love to do it full time. It'd be amazing. Like, but the thing is, like, it's petrifying. You know, it's, you don't know, like, whether you're going to get that regular income. You're probably not going to, because you're self-employed. And it's, you know, because I've only got me to rely on. Like, it's so scary that I'm just like, no, can't do that. And loads of people have been like, oh, yeah, you should do it. And I'm like, oh, I just don't. I don't know. It's too scary for me. But I'd like to, but yeah.
Yeah. There's no right or wrong answer with that. That's a scary thing, because it's, there's no guarantees, is there? So
exactly. And I just, like, I don't know. I do think, like, oh, yeah, it would be nice to, like, do one job, like, not all the time, but, you know, like, just have one, and then everything be a bit more regular. But I think, because I'm so used to my life being, like, all over the place, it'd be a bit weird. Like, I can't switch off. Like, even when I'm on holiday and meant to be, like, relaxing, I can't switch off. Like, I'm like, oh, right, I'm thinking of the next thing. I'm thinking of, like, the next thing I can make, or what I can promote, or, like, I don't know. That's just the way I work. Like, I'm used to being busy, and I do enjoy it. But, you know, I also need to learn to relax, because otherwise I just burn myself out, which is not good.
But I think it's hard when you work for yourself. You are constantly working.
Yeah.
Aren't you? Because you're always thinking of the next thing that you need to do to make that money.
Mm, yeah.
And also, it's because I don't really relax, but I don't know if that's because I'm scared that if I do stop, it's, I don't know if I'll be able to start again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you do actually just stop.
It's weird. If you stop that cycle, it's weird. Like, it's like when my daughter goes to her dad's, because he's in Wales, she goes there for like a week at a time or 2 weeks at a time in the holidays. And it's just so weird, because I'm like, oh, I've got that routine of like her being there.
Yeah.
Like, it's really odd. And like, I'll come home at like 3 and I'm like, oh, like, what do I do now? I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do some work. So like when she was there last time, I just worked more. I increased my hours. I was like, can I work more? And they're like, but like, why aren't you making the most out of this time and, you know, going out or whatever? I'm like, no, I need to work. But
do you find it strange when she's not there?
I think I'm just used to it. It's been like that since she was 8 months old. So like, it's always, it's always been like that. And I don't really know. She doesn't know any different. I don't know any different, really. It's less now that she's in school, because obviously, you know, she has to be in school. But before, she would go there a lot more because it was easier. It was more flexible. But yeah, it's weird. It sucks. Like, you know, it's not nice when she's not here. But obviously, it's really important that she sees her dad, you know, and she she has a great time there. So that's, you know, that's good. It's just hard switching off the kind of like mum mode. And then being like, oh, yeah, I can, like, do whatever. And then she's back. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't. I can't just pop to the shop. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
So, it's odd. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, I can't change it. And I wouldn't change it, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, business-wise, are you going to... Have you got plans to kind of expand the range of stuff that you're doing? Are you quite happy to do what...
This is my actual problem. I have too much of a variety of stuff. Like, it's like the amount of time that, like, I did a craft fair recently and I thought I didn't have enough stuff. And they were like, no, you've got loads. And I didn't even realise how many different products I have. So I actually kind of need to like narrow it down a bit. But yeah, I know that the baby items do really well. And I did start off just doing that. And now I do adult stuff as well, like key rings and headbands and things like that. So that's, you know, that's worked quite well because I've increased my target audience. So the next thing I want to do is appeal to men. Because most of my stuff is, you know, like quite, not that I like to say, but quite girly, you know, like scrunchies and headbands and things like that. So, but it's hard. Like, I think if you're, especially as like the type of fabric I always get or like the type of things I make, I'm just set in that mindset. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what guys would like. Or, you know, like I do get asked quite a few times, you know, oh, what have you got presents for like, my dad or like, you know, my brother. And I'm like, not really. I sell like reusable notebooks, which, you know, appeal to anyone really. But yeah, that I'd like to do, but it's getting my brain around it.
Maybe you should ask them for suggestions.
Yeah, but
so no, but what would you like? Because they might have some good ideas. I don't know. But then the thing is, you haven't got to, have you?
No, exactly.
Obviously, if you want to, that's fine, but...
Yeah.
Can't please everybody.
Can't please everybody, no.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, because I know you've got to go and cook dinner. But thank you so much for coming on.
That's all right.
So, you're on Etsy.
Yeah, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook. It's literally just at Stay True Stitches, and that is it. Yeah?
Yep. I will post links to everything.
Amazing, thank you.
And if you find a picture online of your picture, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I've definitely got
I think
one.
That'd be really lovely, and I'll share it.
Amazing.
If that's okay, obviously.
Yeah.
And I look forward to the Suicide Girls
reunion. Imagine that.
Suggested.
That'd be hilarious. Oh yeah, they'd love it.
It was really lovely to meet you.
You too.
And I'll share everything. All right,
amazing.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi. So yes, that was the lovely Steph. I'll share all of the links to her Etsy store below, so you can see her on her Instagram. She's really lovely. I love talking to people. I get to talk to so many nice people. I love my job. This job, anyway. I'm a bit over all the rest of them at the moment. But I need, like, from being sick, sorry, this is a bit of a moan, but it's like, because I'm self-employed, if I don't work, I don't get paid, so I can't actually rest. What I need is for someone to come in and replace me, and that can't happen. So it's like, I was hoping today that I could just watch Squid Game all day on the city, because I've still got to catch up with that, but I've actually spent it working because there's stuff that I need to do and I just need to get it done. But it's frustrating. Capitalism is frustrating. Anyway, that's a story for another day. But yeah, please get in touch. If you want to chat to me, get in touch. If there's any guests that you'd like to recommend, then get in touch. And have a good week. Have a good week. Enjoy yourselves. I'm actually, at the time you're listening to this, I might be celebrating my mum's 80th birthday in Margate with the family. So I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully I'll be feeling a lot better by then. I have a lot of balloons to ensemble and cake to make. But yes, thank you for listening. Check out my other episodes. I've had some wonderful people on. Subscribe and share. Big love to you all. Stay safe and sane.
Bye. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.